It's time for the Blue Star Gas Rural Matters on 1430 KYKN. Now here's Jake.
Jake, Rural Matters, welcome back. Another Friday. I hope everybody's smoking, rocking. High pressure system is here early. It is warmer now than I can remember for this time of year, which I think means that we might have some water issues going into next year. If you look at Mount Hood right now, it's balder than I am, having been follically challenged a long time. John Swanson back with me because we were honestly, John, I felt like we were really warming up and having a great time and informative as well. And for those of you, John Swanson, of course, handily, Polk County Commissioner position number two. And you're like the really good football team that won all its games, and now you've got that bye.
Yeah, first seed.
Yeah, you got the first, you could kind of sit back and watch the other people cancel each other out. What advice do you have for your fellow commissioners? What do you got as they go in? You're able to really absorb now, you know, because this is new for you.
Well, honestly, commissioners just around the state, any of them that are partisan, those get decided in November.
Yeah, but you aren't.
There's only a few runoffs that I'm aware of. I could be mistaken, but I know up in Yamhill County, a friend of mine, Jason Fields, is kind of in the same camp as myself. He'll be taking Mary Sterrett's position.
Okay,
and he won with don't quote me on this. I want to say some ballpark 54% of the vote. Kit Johnston up there did roughly the same thing.
You know, when you talk about partisan, because you work for Bruce Starr, as his chief of staff,
right?
And Republican.
The position is technically nonpartisan, so you don't see Republican on the ballot when you're voting for me.
Or Democrat.
Right.
Or even independent.
Right.
It's just
and nonpartisan positions, in the case of county commissioner, when it's a May election, can and often do get decided in May. You just have to have 50%, over 50%.
And you clearly did that at, gosh, almost well over 60% of the vote.
I think it's just over 60.
Yeah. Well, that's,
I can't remember what it is now.
You know,
gone down a little bit.
With those
final batches.
Yeah. There's no surprises, unlike other places that we'll have been looking at. You know, John, it's really great to have you continue on with me. What do you, as you have this opportunity between now and January, when we have the turnover, what are you learning right now? What are the issues that are coming up to you, and what are some of the things that you already are thinking about? Because we talked last week about finding your lane, and,
right?
And you've each one of the commissioners kind of has a strong spot. You want to respect that. Doesn't mean that you're going to kowtow to it. But, you're going to cut them some slack there.
Yeah, and I do want to be clear, just coming off of last week, just because you have your lane doesn't mean you do not weigh in at all.
Of course.
You just definitely respect each other's kind of bubble.
What are you seeing? We talked about the Polk County Fair last time.
Yes.
What else is on your radar as you are preparing
for
January?
And just to talk about the fair a little
Absolutely.
Bit. The commissioners did come out. They are going out for a 12-cent levy, which I support. And I think it's critical to keep the lights on at the fairgrounds. We're going to have conversations down the road about how to make the fair itself and the fairgrounds just raise the bar and kind of put it at the same caliber as other fairs. And I think there's going to be a lot of creative ideas that come forward. But in the meantime, that 12-cent levy is vital to not be a drain on the general fund. And one point I want to make clear that we didn't touch last week is it really enables our Polk County Fairgrounds to achieve a level of independence away from state dollars. Because I think the only practical way, if the levy were to go down, is to just make it one more of many capital requests that you ask of the Oregon legislature. And with that comes strings And it's really an opportunity for Polk County residents to say, this is our fair, and it's ours. So I just want to stress that point. And it was last Tuesday, it would have been, well, I guess it has been over a week, but
yeah,
so it's out there and the campaign is brewing and it's just starting to grow. And, you know, we're looking for endorsements and I just encourage anyone who wants to help out to just reach out.
You know, when you look at Polk County Fair and there's Marion County Fair and all of them, Yamhill, I think it's in McMinnville, and I've driven by that fair. There, Polk County's got some ground to make up. What are you learning from what other county fairs are doing that may help with Polk County? Anything at all? I know it's a little early for you right now, but what are suggestions?
Well, I think it's just scope, size, how likely is somebody to attend a fair? So you're talking about the fair or the fairgrounds?
Well, actually, both in a way. I mean,
the fair itself, it's you want to have draws. That's the high hope,
and bring people there and
create opportunities for just the dollars to bounce around a little bit more. Make people want to come and actually spend. You have to have just across the board a level of quality that encourages that.
Right on. Yeah, and so I. You know, and of course, too, we also mentioned last week, it's worth mentioning, it is the go-to place in case of some type of emergency. You need that place to be ready. You know, it has to be accessible and there has to be things in case of some sort of natural disaster or whatever.
That's right. Huge public safety need.
You know, how many people can that hold? You know, in a public, you know, I mean, that's pretty good facility.
Well, that's a good question. I actually couldn't tell you off the top of my head the capacity, but
it's needed. I mean, it's needed. It's needed. John, you know, when we were visiting last week and I see an enthusiasm in you that I think is really healthily infectious. I'm even going to use the word intoxicating. How do you, you know, as you have spent a lot of time in the Capitol, you know, working with Bruce Starr and trying to maintain what the voters brought you to Polk County to do. How do you protect yourself to not get absorbed and to not lose your focus, your statement of purpose, your narrative with all of the influences and things that come with being an elected public servant? How do you maintain that?
Well, I mean, I think there's a lot to unpack there, but I mean, something that I can draw on is I feel like in my campaign and myself and the amount of grassroots, so to speak, investors, you know, just normal folks around Polk County. I had a very sizable coalition of support, you know, nearly 200 local donors that helped put me over the top. And I think when you have that sort of broad base of support, it allows you to be independent. You know, I don't feel like any single force or special interest, put me over the top, so to speak. I think I can just be myself.
Well, it's very important.
That's what's so kind of liberating and exciting about this opportunity.
I have doing some research. You are going to represent the people that can't speak. You're going to be the one, you're going to be the voice for the farm person. You're going to be the voice, you know, in the land use issues and stuff. And they're hoping that you're going to hold up and let them be heard because they can't. That's why they have you. How does that feel for you to have hardworking blue collar American men and women, young and old, that are saying, we believe in you and we're really hoping that you can hold up and not get, I hate to use the word, but compromised or even contaminated in a certain level. It's a lot of pressure in a way, isn't it?
Well, I mean, it's humbling. I think I've demonstrated just throughout my life kind of a level of integrity that, you know, I believe I uphold and I think others would attest. I think it's just another work day, to be honest. So,
yeah, okay.
You know, we just kind of take it day by day and keep your integrity and, you know, make wise decisions and don't sell out.
Keywords right there. And because that, that has a tendency where people will go, oh my gosh, and now I don't even know where they're standing on certain things. I thought this was going to happen. And honestly, we know that politics is such a difficult navigational deal.
Oh yeah.
I mean, yeah. We got 30 seconds. What's some of your big takeaway? And we'll continue this on the other side. What's your big takeaway from being on Bruce Starr's staff?
I mean, just well, on the theme you're going for, politics is messy.
Yeah.
I mean, you go to work and you know, sometimes the public doesn't see how hard you're going at it, and you know how hard you're resisting. You know, in recent memory, what the majority is trying to press upon us, and you know, it's and then to leave work and people don't necessarily see everything you did throughout the day, and it's just that process day in and day out. You know, we work hard.
Yeah.
And just to stay on point with what you're saying, it's just flat out not seen. And I think it's natural when you don't see it to assume that isn't going on.
Yeah, no, I get it. We're visiting with John Swanson, brand new Polk County Commissioner, position number 2. Exciting times for you, John, and for the county as well and the state. Rural Matters back right after this.
Back to the Blue Star Gas, Rural Matters on 1430 KYKN. Once again, here's Jake.
Jake, Rural Matters, and such an honor to be here, and can't emphasize enough that we are so close to the 4th of July, 250 years of American independence. What does that mean to you? What does that mean? John Swanson with me, just got elected your county commissioner, Polk County position number 2. You know, as a citizen, as a commissioner, how are you feeling going into such a celebratory time?
250 years is a lot. That's a lot of years.
It is.
No, I mean, it just makes you sit back and reflect. And I mean, the fact that our country is alive and well and doing so well, how brilliant our founding fathers were, just constructing the framework of our country. I mean, so many forces played where what is honestly the first experiment of democracy, like a recreation of like the Greek model of democracy, to get it right on the first try, where our founding fathers and what they pulled off, and to watch other attempts in Europe, in some cases be successful. Some were very different, but a lot of failures. America's been the perfect experiment and remains true.
Love it. And by the way, I was doing a little fun research stuff. That first army from George Washington, roughly 400,000 people, a lot of farmers in that group.
Yes.
And they weren't just some hicks with sticks, because they were actually part of some of the French Indian Wars. They had training. And
now, are you talking about George Washington's early career when he was a British officer?
Yeah, there was farmers. That's right. Yeah. I'm kind of glad about that. There were a lot of the grassroots basic folks. We taxation without representation, King George, that ain't playing over in my place.
And the British didn't promote Washington.
No.
Because he was an American. He wanted to be promoted as a British officer when he was younger.
Yeah.
After the French and Indian War.
Yeah.
I bet they wish they didn't make that mistake.
Yeah, they should have kept him in the ranks. And, you know, and also to go back at that time, when it was over and the British surrendered, you know, George Washington didn't want a monarchy, and he honestly didn't even want to be president. He wanted to go back to his farm. And by the way, I've done a deep dive on his history. This guy was ahead of his time when it came to crop rotations and growing certain varieties to bring nutrients into the soil. Total Renaissance man. Yeah. So much respect.
Because some things never change. Even the price of wheat and crops he was growing back then were getting controlled by the English across the sea. Yeah. So he had to really innovate because of what they were doing to him just on prices.
He would get messages sent to him by horse or whatever. Hey, how's this growing? Have you guys done this or that? Yeah. And, you know, we owe so much to the George Washingtons, the Abraham Lincolns, and just go down. It's, my daughter and I were saying this, and I share this with everybody. The Lord brought the right people at the right time for our country mm-hmm. in its time of real need. I mean, you look at the Civil War, you look at how we were able to defeat the British, such a powerful army, and go on World War II with the Eisenhowers and Franklin Delano Roosevelts, and man, oh man, you know, we are blessed. We are blessed.
That's right.
And you know, you're a bit younger than I am. You're carrying the mantle. Are our best days ahead of us?
I let's not put myself on that pedestal.
No, we're not. but you know, as they say in sub church circles, you know, we always think big numbers, but you know, generally speaking, if we're going to promote the gospel, we'd be a ministry of one.
Yeah.
And for you, you know, looking to what you're doing and thinking about your future with your family and so forth, mm-hmm. As a commissioner right now, commissioner elect, you know, what are you gleaning that you can share? What are you learning? Because this is going to be new for you, but you're not new to politics.
Yeah, I'm spending a lot of time meeting with sort of people behind the scenes, city managers. I'm trying to really kind of make my rounds around Polk County and just kind of absorb the local, just to put things in perspective. And as we spoke of last week, a lot of my depth is in the state legislature. Yeah. So that's kind of the world I understand. There's a whole new language when it comes to local government, different acronyms, different committees. And, you know, I just want to do it right. So I'm trying to, you know, meet with mayors and just roll up my sleeves and have as many one-on-ones as possible, rather than just, you know, broad brush, you know, come in guns a-blazing. You know, I just want to make sure I do it right. I think that's the ethical way to do it, especially with this long run-up that I have. You know, it's I can't remember if we spoke last week. I'm the first commissioner elect to be elected in May who isn't an incumbent.
Yeah.
I forget if we covered that.
I don't think we did, but
the county doesn't, the staff at the county doesn't quite know what to how to deal with this fact, is because typically if someone has won in May, they're already a commissioner.
Yeah.
So there's no new office to work out or email address. I'm at this point, I'm trying to, get rights to a public email address so I can actually begin corresponding with constituents using an address that isn't, you know, my campaign email, which I may as well just state if anyone would like to reach out to me, my address is john@electjohnswanson.com.
Yeah, and people can bring questions to you. You know, maybe, and we're talking about this because we got a couple of really good minutes here. What exactly does a county commissioner do? We talked about it last week, but I think mm-hmm. it's worth bring it up again.
Yeah.
So people can say, well, I want to ask him the right questions about what he's put in the office for.
Yeah. You're the governing entity of the county. So whatever county you live in, your commissioners are basically the city councilor / mayor of the county. And so if you live in county land, like they are the governing body for you. If you live within a city, you tend to turn to your mayor and city council first, but we interact with them and try to back each other up, or that might be the wrong word because, you know, sometimes there's friction, but we want what's best for our local cities, and, you know, just try to work together with them.
And you're going to have to be able to facilitate that and convey messages mm-hmm. and be able to work urban as well as rural mm-hmm. Without, you know, having to do a real, you know, I don't want you to have to give out anything that you're uncomfortable with, but what do you see your ability to communicate? Are you strong that way? Are you going to be able to navigate between some tough people and get things done? That's quite a load on you.
Well, I think all county commissioners, and you go into this job expecting that there's definitely personality differences. I think I've always been strong at being able to mediate. Yeah. you know, the issues rise up. So let's say you have a controversial land use decision, and a lot of times county commissioners get kind of caught in the middle of those. And you know, I think those chapters are yet to be written, but, you know, I know in Polk County, there's just a lot of stress in terms of, like, you know, you'll have pristine farm use, you'll have pristine farmland. You'll have, you know, the potential of growth. You know, I personally favor commercial industrial growth. You know, I think at least in Polk County, you know, from a housing perspective, at least with high density, we're definitely at our limit. And, you know, I tend to favor homes with yards when we're talking about new housing. But, you know, I knocked a lot of doors in my campaign, and that's kind of the consensus I hear from people. I think I share that with, you know, I think that's a common belief that, you know, your average Polk County resident has. But you, any new, you know, we're talking land use here. We've stumbled into this conversation,
sure.
but, you know, any new development, any new concept, you know, there's definitely a public process, and I think it's just important that all sides feel heard and are heard, and, you know, that you just create an environment where, you know, no one's feeling left out, and you just do the best you can.
Right on. John Swanson, Polk County Commissioner, Position 2, Jake Rural Matters, back after the program right after this.
The conversation continues on the Blue Star Gas Rural Matters of 1430 KYKN.
Jake, Rural Matters, and so great to be here in Salem, almost the center of the city at this radio station, KYKN, 1430 AM, and I'm going on 4 years. And I seem to always get people that are crazy enough to come on my program. How's that, John? John Swanson's with me, you know, newly elected a couple months back. And as you mentioned early, first time firster getting in right away, you know, for position 2 at Polk County. I want to, you know, so congratulatory for you there too, by the way. That's something to put in your resume. You had all those years being, you know, with Bruce Starr. And, you know, I believe he was out in the Dundee area, if I remember correctly, or Newburgh.
Well,
or...
remember, he's newer.
Yeah.
And he had a prior career in Hillsboro.
Yeah.
But from 2014 until, and he had basically a 10-year hiatus.
Yeah.
So that, yeah.
So you're, what kind of lessons do you take from having been in the corridors of the Capitol building? And there's a difference between what you were there and what you're doing now, but. How did you view politics when you were going through there with your Willamette University paper, you know, diploma also there?
I just think as the years have ticked by, the heat has been turned up,
right,
significantly since when I first began. Just partisan, one party rule. It just gets harder and harder to deal with, and you know the need for different leadership just increasingly mounts and mounts as the years tick by.
It's a lot.
Yes.
There's a lot going on. You know, we've got elections. The midterms are coming up, and Christine Drazen is the GOP nominee, as was 4 years ago, roughly. And if you were advising her campaign and all, maybe you do, I don't know, a little bit. What would you be telling her? What kind of message does she got to get out to, quite honestly, the urban, the Portlands, and the Eugene people?
Huh? Well, I don't think there's anything I have to say that they don't already know.
Okay.
And I mean, there's plenty of interaction. The biggest difference that I can stress is it's such a clear contrast
right
now. You have 4 years of a record from our current governor, and instead of running against the former, or maybe at the time current, Speaker of the House, that was
Tina.
We're at a stage right now where the contrast is so clear.
Yeah.
And there aren't other candidates in the race that are kind of murking up the conversation. You couldn't have a more obvious contrast. And I think the Drazen campaign is doing exactly what they need to do. I think it's happening. I think the contrast is being made. The And you know, we'll have all summer and fall to see that unravel. But I give her an extremely high chance of winning.
What do you like about her? You know her.
Mm-hmm.
What are some of her really strong characteristics so that people can hear this that you like that she shows to you and others?
Oh, she's tough.
Okay.
She's absolutely tough.
Okay.
And I don't know if everybody's observation points to that, because, you know, things get said, and I know we just got through a primary, but I can tell you that out of any elected I can think of, she has a full understanding of the ins and outs of our state government and who would need to be appointed, you know, who would need to be put in charge of our agencies. And for me, that's the number one driver. You think about, you know, just if a Republican becomes governor of Oregon, there's no guarantee a Republican indefinitely for the next 50 years is serving as governor.
Well, it's been since 82 that we've had one.
What we have to have is oxygen just pumping through the bloodstream of the width and breadth of our state agencies and departments and just some level of fresh blood. And I think she would be, I believe, and I know this, she'll be extremely savvy about, you know, knowing exactly who needs to go where. And that's, you know, from my vantage point, and it's not necessarily something you want to jump out of your chair and cheer for, but I think that is like the most sorely needed ingredient in order to just keep our state solvent and, you know, basically give us a lease on life.
Right. We pay more for gas than most people should. And I know that for a fact, as in the Midwest last month, by almost a dollar. And what I see there, and we kind of talked on that last time, John, is that I see bang for the buck out there and with less people. And yeah, it's a red state, South Dakota, Iowa, mostly. Mm-hmm. And I look here and I know they're trying. I see a lot of road construction now, even to get to this station. I'm glad I left early. How do we get bang for our buck? How does a taxpayer who's, I'm not opposed to taxes, if I know that my money is being used wisely and as frugally as possible, as I use my money,
mm-hmm.
I'm in.
I mean, the easiest answer is accountability.
Right.
Like, I'll quickly draw back to the fare levy in Polk County. I mean, a modest, a relatively small levy that goes away eventually is a structure like that creates accountability.
Yeah.
Because, you know, leaders say, okay, we have X amount of dollars. We have to prove we're using it well. That's a high level of accountability. What we have with, say, ODOT, but it's common throughout all our departments, is just a habit where if you work there, the need to show your level of accountability has decrescendoed throughout the years. You know, we're still dealing with, you know, state employees working from home who would be 10 times more efficient if they were actually in an office.
Wow.
And I mean, we all understand that dynamic, but there's just so much, you know, I call it systemic rot, just built within our systems. That just the only answer is just fresh blood and, you know, different leadership to make those working. And I'm not knocking anybody specifically. I'm just speaking to the behavior of bureaucracies when one party rules them for 40 years. That I'm not knocking any specific individual. I gotta stress that, but you know, I think it's definitely time for, you know, those who work within our state to just kind of see new directors and definitely have the sense of, okay, accountability is needed and people are watching. And you know, you if you're in the state legislature and you watch the committee process, there's some kind of cross-examination, you know, in the Ways and Means subcommittee process. There's, you know, there are times where you can ask an agency head, okay, what's this dollar used for? What's this dollar used for? But they've gotten very trained using, you know, taxpayer funded. Every one of these agencies has a lobbyist who makes a lot of money.
Oh yeah.
Okay.
We haven't even talked about
and
them yet.
And they're very good at just telling you what great work they're doing. And it takes some major discipline to be able to ask the right questions.
Sure.
And it's a tall order for, you know, a volunteer state legislator to be able to check all those boxes. And long story short, it's very hard for, you know, the minority in the legislature to, you know, hold agencies accountable.
Well, you know, lobbyists, I agree with you there. And every, you know, ag people have their lobbyists. There's the farm bureaus and stuff like that. But there has to come a kind of a recognition that some things aren't sustainable anymore. Taxes are high. And it is, whether it's the gasoline, and I know it's coming down. I've been watching it. But we can't be choking out the taxpayer. And that, I think that's what's scaring a lot of people and ticking them off simultaneously. John.
Well, absolutely. I mean, you know, that's why we were successful with the referendum last fall.
Very happy about that. So. Very happy about that. Man, I'm having fun with this. John Swanson, newly elected there, Polk County Commissioner 2. Jake, final segment right after this.
Back to the Blue Star Gas Rural Matters on 1430 KYKN. Once again, here's Jake.
Jake, Real Matters back with you on this glorious Friday. We are literally a couple of weeks away from the big party, and people are already celebrating. It's already happening, and it should. And it should. John Swanson with me, Polk County Commissioner, just elected. And, you know, John, you've got about, early January, so you've got roughly 5 months to catch up with family. What is the summer looking like for your Swanson family simultaneously as you are preparing for this? Quite honestly, you're out of the Capitol building now. Now you're talking, you know, county politics.
Yeah. Well, I just want to state, when you say rest of the summer and into fall, you know, my day job continues.
Yeah.
You know, we're, you know, I'm chief of staff, district chief of staff for Bruce Starr. And, you know, I'm also very involved in helping, you know, certain Republican candidates get elected in state Senate districts. So it's nice to have my campaign behind me so I can devote my attention, you know, work-wise to that full time. But the question on family.
Yeah.
You know, what's nice, you know, just as I pivot this career that I have into, you know, commuting to Dallas instead of commuting to Salem every day. I am looking forward to just having one hat to wear.
Yeah.
And being able to, you know, focus exclusively, you know, on being a county commissioner. Because as we've said before, I do wear multiple hats. You know, I have my public role as chief of staff, but, you know, I also help in campaigns as well. And, you know, juggling it all and all the travel I have to do around the state, you know, it's nice to be able to come home at a reasonable time every day. And
wonderful. Yeah. And make up some time for when you've been out,
mm-hmm.
you know, stumping mm-hmm. and you won handily. And I think that's wonderful. What are some of the things that, as you think about it now, cause you're still working in the state Capitol, what are you going to miss about being actually in the state Capitol, you know, working for Bruce Starr?
Well, first off, I'm not going to be a stranger to the state Capitol. I think it's important that commissioners go there and advocate, testify.
Yeah.
You know, we'll figure out if there's any like capital requests that we have as a county or, you know, helping others that have them, but there will absolutely be reasons to go to the Capitol. And I think that's one of the strengths I'll bring as a commissioner is being able to advocate. I'll say, you know, I have my key card.
Okay.
And what's funny is the photo on my key card, I mean, you obviously can't see it, But maybe it's kind of funny. The photo on my key card, if I can dig it out, it might be a couple cards into my wallet here, is from 2010.
Wow.
So
you got
that was the last time my photo was taken, and I still use that to swipe in.
Yeah, that was a good look for you. People could go, maybe they can go back on
it. It was in the winter. I have a hoodie and a beard.
Yeah. So. Yeah. But you know all the nooks and corners. You know where everything is. You've spent some time there.
Sure.
That's gonna help. And so, for people that are trying to understand, your role as the commissioner, you have access to the governor, correct?
I mean,
Reasonably so.
I wouldn't say it's anything profound, to be honest.
Oh, okay. Some people might think that, though.
I think that kind of access for it to exist should be a two-way street. I think I'll really understand that once I'm a commissioner, but the perception is it's very hard for those in local government to get access. I don't want to make any promises.
No, but
if it's Governor Drazen, I'm very confident the access will be there for a lot of rural local elected officials.
I think that's what people want to know, because they feel like a lot of people, myself included, that Governor Kotick doesn't have a clue what my colleagues that I've left at, whether it's the dairy business or, agriculture being the number two driver financially for this state, at least it was last time I checked. Number one, of course, tourism, which is great. Glad people are coming here to Oregon and looking at our Silver Falls, our Oregon beach and high desert. But I don't think she knows where her food comes from. And I wish it weren't that way. I don't know. I don't know if you have any comments on that.
And I think we touched on this, and it kind of depends. And I don't know if it was properly articulated last week, but I think with a lot of these elected officials, you can give them more credit than you think at face value they deserve in terms of what they know.
Okay.
It's what they're allowed to do and what special interests have put them there.
Yeah.
And just the entire machine, that often prevents common sense from coming to the fore. I mean, that's the real hindrance. And yet another reason to it needs to be shattered.
Well, it does, because, and I understand that, but it's like, okay, the 20-cent gas tax that was gonna happen, but happy about how we're galvanized as a state and said, not gonna happen. But the governor or other people of rank can propose these things, but they're not paying for their gas. She's got a ride in and out of the Capitol. She's got her house out there in Salem. I've seen it. It's great. Happy for her. I got no problem with that. But to propose things that they don't have to live with the consequences.
Right.
That to me, John, is a big deal. And I don't know if you...
And I mean, it's true and it's multifaceted. And I agree with you 100%. I mean, any lever we can pull to make it easy on the middle class, costs are obviously going up. And it isn't just a federal phenomenon. Because like you said, you've cited other states where prices look just fine. There's a lot of local inflation, and that's a derivative of just the mishmash of policies that, we've seen implemented unchecked.
Yeah. I appreciate that comment. I want to know more, and I want my audience to know more so that we don't go around banging our head against the wall with looking ridiculous, but really, knowledge is power.
Sure.
And so looking more outside the state as we, again, 250 years, what are you looking forward to seeing in America as a whole? What kind of gets you up in the morning, John? Best days ahead of us. We've gone through a lot as a country. You're excited about what you're doing and going forward with your colleagues.
I believe the best days are ahead of us. I mean, otherwise I wouldn't be doing this. I think those tuning into your show, I think I think we all intuitively understand that you know, this is, you know, we are at worst at the halfway mark of America.
Right on.
I think we're going to continue. I think this next century, you know, is going, like, I think America will continue to be strong. And you know, sometimes it's hard when you see the little micro trends,
right?
But there is just something about this country. And like we said earlier, you know, we seem to get the right people in at the right time. There's just something magical about who we are.
I'm very grateful for that. I'm so grateful that my folks, for example, were able to immigrate from Holland, you know, the northern part of Holland, I believe, and get to California and work their way up here, you know, doing, you know, dairying and so on and so forth, to get us, my family, many others like me, to where we are. You can't do that anywhere else. And I want to say to my children and young people, you know, as you guys, and I'll leave the last segment for you of this segment. Take a good look. Don't be locked into some sort of just letter D or R, but really look, you know, are we doing as good as we can? Your comments on that, John.
I mean, it's, speaking at a federal level, any level. I mean, I just agree with everything you said. I mean, but what your comment about D or R, or you always have to vote for the person and not the party. And I just, it just seems to me that here in Oregon specifically, you know, it's we definitely have, we're definitely living in a system where cracks have to exist in the edifice, and like light has to start shining through. We've just been having unchecked power in this state. And I'm not asking for a total tidal wave the other direction. I just want checks and balances.
Right. Checks and balances. Hey, one more time, if somebody wants to get a hold of you, we're about ready to wrap it up.
Oh, yeah. I'd love to field questions. If anyone wants to shoot me a message right now, the best way is John, J-O-H-N, at electjohnswanson.com.
Fantastic. John, so glad that you made it out. And honestly, enjoy the summer. It's a very, very rare and beautiful summer with everything going on. And I hope get you back here and we can see how you're doing and anything that you want to bring out so the public needs to know. John Swanson, congratulations. As commissioner there in Polk County, you got your work cut out for you, but, you know, I appreciate you very much for coming
on. Thank you. Happy for being here.
Right on. Jake Rural Matters, and we'll talk to you guys soon.
This has been the Blue Star Gas Rural Matters every Friday at noon on 1430 KYKN, where Salem is listening.